Our topic today is electromagnetic pulse. My guest is Dr. Peter Zimmerman, PhD from Stanford University in particle physics and a former chief scientist at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Randy. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Peter, tell us, what is an electromagnetic pulse?
An electromagnetic pulse is pretty much what the name says. It's a great spike in voltage and current that is generated by the explosion of a nuclear weapon, generally at high altitudes. And it propagates across all the area that can be seen from the burst. That is, it's a line-of-sight phenomenon.
Line-of-sight. Okay, I remember several years ago you first told me about Starfish Prime. Tell us about that.
Now, Starfish Prime was a shot that was conducted in the South Pacific back in 1962. It was 1.4 megatons, and it was the warhead on the top of an ICBM that was fired from, I think it was Johnston Island. And it was an enormous explosion. That explosion produced a huge electromagnetic pulse, which was remarked as far away as Honolulu, where several strings of streetlights were turned off because the EMP blew the fuses.
1.4 megaton. Compare that to a Hiroshima bomb.
It's about 100 times the size of the Hiroshima bomb.
Okay, huge. Okay, so now, I keep hearing about, if terrorists detonated a 10-kiloton nuke, and we'll assume it's a ground-level burst in a major city, would that cause an EMP that you hear people talk about that would cause shut down the electric grid for part of the nation or whatever?
Well, it creates what's called a source region EMP, which is much shorter range than a high-altitude EMP. It certainly is going to have the ability to shut down part of the power in the city, in the local area. And it may turn off the electronics in automobiles and some computers and so on. But, of course, the important thing to remember is it doesn't go very far, and it's kind of scattershot. It doesn't take down all the cars or all the electric grid or all the computers. Only some.
Okay, so now we got to remember back to, 2003, a tree hit some power lines and shut down the electricity for a little while on the east coast of the United States.
Yeah.
So it's hard to predict exactly what it's going to do, but it's not this thing that you sometimes read about that's going to put us back in the 18th century for half the United States or whatever.
Well, no.
Certainly not a ground burst of 10 kiloton. But how about if they put it on a scud? Say there's a ship sitting off our coast. They put it on a scud, once again a Hiroshima-sized nuke, and fire that scud up over a city. What would that do, an EMP?
Well, there are a couple of things to say. First, a 10-kiloton weapon is really unlikely to cause very much electromagnetic pulse as compared to a 1-megaton weapon. That factor of 100 reduces the size of the EMP greatly. But, you know, they keep talking about firing it from a scud off the coast, and scuds are short-range missiles. They actually can't get high enough or far enough to produce the effects that a lot of people are saying they will. It's just simply too dinky a little missile to do it.
Okay, so the physics just don't work for this terrorist organization. You're talking about a thermonuclear weapon on a delivery system that'll get it up to 400 kilometers. So now we're talking a few...
400 kilometers when it gets where it's going, not just 400 kilometers.
It's to get it over the target at 400 kilometers. So we're talking just a handful of countries in the world that can do something like this. And that's one of the reasons we maintain a nuclear arsenal, is to deter something like that. So it doesn't sound like it's really a serious threat from a non-state actor. But I understand there is a thermonuclear device out there that could cause an EMP that could have catastrophic damage, and that source is out there at about 93 million miles.
Well, you're right. It's called our sun.
Mm-hmm.
And our sun is a fairly active star, and every once in a while there are massive explosions on the surface of the sun, explosions which make any hydrogen bomb look really quite infinitesimal and unimportant. And those things can heave the upper atmosphere in very much the way that an EMP from a megaton bomb would do. The reason is that it's such a much greater distance that the effects are a little weaker. But the thing about it is that we know that we get significant eruptions on the sun every 10 years or so. One of the last ones took down most of the Quebec power grid for several hours in the middle of a very cold winter. And one occurred back in the late 19th century called the Carrington event, after the man who observed it. That was the largest solar explosion on record, and it's just a good thing that we didn't have any electronics on Earth at that point. Even telegraph wires were damaged.
Yeah, and the few electronics were out there was pretty significant. So the bottom line is that there was this EMP commission that had a lot of recommendations, and particularly those recommendations to do with resilience and what we need to do to prepare for an EMP. There's a lot of value in that of what we need for backup systems. Do you agree?
Well, I think the EMP commission report makes a number of sensible recommendations with regard to resilience. I think some of those are things we should really be doing.
Such as?
Well, such as, I was about to get there, such as buying some reserve huge power transformers so that if a solar storm knocks part of the power grid offline, we immediately have available the hardware needed to reconstitute. I think that's one of the most important things we can do.
EMP, electromagnetic pulse. The primary thing we need to focus on is resilience, and the primary threat is actually our sun, and that could be a very serious threat in the future. So building systems to be prepared to respond makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does.
Thank you very much, Dr. Peter Zimmerman. Thank you for joining us.